verse 21 of the book of Ephesians, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I began, you might remember, with the end of verse 4 because we needed the definitions, the key definitions of those two very important words that we read of in verse 4. We need to know what bringing them up in the paideia meant. Paideia is the goal, the worldview you're after in instilling your teaching to your children, as well as the nuthesia, which is the method, the training, the discipline that the Lord God prescribes for parents in order to shape and even bend the naturally hard, stubborn will of the child that the child is born with, so that it inclines more and more toward Christ. And then we saw in verses 1 through 3 this teaching our covenant children to honor their parents is the duty and charge of the fifth commandment of the moral law, and how that continues to apply today. And that we are to do so trusting the Lord God for His promise. We train our children, we discipline our children, we lead our children, we disciple our children because of the promise of God, not just for them as they grow up, but for those future generations that will not be lost because of our faithfulness. That is such an important aspect to remember with regard to the covenant. It's not just your children you're concerned about. It is your children's children's children, what you just sang of in Psalm 103. Well, this leaves us now with the first half of verse 4 to finish up our examination of this morning, and the lesson that Paul gives particularly here to fathers. So let me read the first four verses of chapter 6 of Ephesians in your hearing. This is the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Thus far the reading of God's word this morning. Amen. Now, let me date myself a little bit. How many here remember Pastor Al Martin? Okay, there's a few. All right, let me tell you a little bit about Pastor Al Martin. Al Martin was the pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Montville, New Jersey, from 1962 to 2008. He's 91 years old now. Tall man, big, built, strong. Pastor Martin described his style of preaching in the Holy Spirit as a heightened sense of unfettered liberty, an enlarged heart, and a heightened confidence in the Word of God. And he was so impressive, even Professor John Murray, one of the original professors at Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, described Al Martin as one of the ablest and moving preachers he had ever heard. Well, my first exposure to Al Martin was as a new Christian, and I tuned into him, and my first exposure to him was when he preached on this text, and he preached from the King James. And as he did so, you know, he started off in his very dramatic and his very fearsome style, and he said, "And ye fathers!" After which he laid into the men of his congregation without mercy. Well, I have already covered the aspect of the headship in the home that this passage is emphasizing. Paul could well have said, especially reciting the fifth commandment as he's done, he could have said that this charge is given to both the mother and the father, and that would be right. But Paul chooses to address the fathers here, particularly not only because of their unique responsibility as the heads of the home, but also because of their own sinful ability to cause frustration within their children's hearts, which can lead to a breakdown of esteem and respect and make the honoring of parents a difficult charge for the growing covenant son or daughter in the home. Now, I want to offer you one basic principle to keep in mind this morning. It's my own kind of description or grasp at this, but I think it has a deeper meaning that I want you to learn. And the principle that I want to give you here, as you are about the business of raising your children in the paideia and the nuthesia of the Lord, is this. I want you to keep in mind the difference at home between being informal and being casual. You know, over the years, I have wrestled with those two terms. And I have come to the conclusion that there is a distinct and very significant difference between those two descriptions, those two categories, between those two words and their applications and their implications. Informal, for instance, refers to a standard that is agreed on. There is a standard that is thought of. When you hear the informal word informal, you think of a certain standard everybody is understanding of, something that is already set in place. It is a relaxed standard, to be sure. We speak of dressing informally when we attend certain public events. Certain criteria are still expected, however, of the guests when they come. Those are typically understood as different than formal kind of gatherings. They don't include all of the accoutrements that go along with a formal gathering. While informal is most often, you know, referred to today just by way of dress, informality is actually a standard in its own right. That it can and should apply to other parts of our lives, to our speech, to our actions, to our behavior, to our manners. You know, and while the atmosphere is understandably relaxed, certain standards still remain in place, and everyone is to understand that and to follow it, submit to it, if you will. Now, casual, on the other hand, is not a synonym for informal. Whereas informal speaks and recognizes a standard that is still in place, casual is a total disregard for any standards. And it communicates only personal choice and personal attitude. Again, we can, you know, typically only think of this usually when we talk about how we dress for occasions. Casual means we can come as we are, come as we want. We sometimes hear of churches that say, come casual, come as you are, come as you want. Very often when casual is emphasized, you know, the resulting dress of some who attend take that seriously. And they can come with more than just relaxed or inattentive. Sometimes it's an invitation to be very selfish, to even be outlandish in their dress, even rude to other people. We see this in public forum today where, you know, the decorum for public speech, for instance, has slid from being informal, where there are some standards of decorum, of politeness, of etiquette, to casual. And now people use four-letter words to express themselves in anything they want, anytime they want, in front of anyone they want. They don't care. They don't care who listens. All they care about is what they personally want to say at the time. And it usually comes across caustic and rude and very inappropriate, because they all say they have a right to free speech. That is because casual, you see, is to be defined as only suiting yourself. only pleasing yourself, even if it's at the risk, maybe because it's at the risk, of offending someone else. Now, the core meaning of the word casual may not infer that a person is actually deliberately being selfish. However, the mindset is only focused on the self. That goes with the term. Casual is being self-determined and self-pleasing. Now, my point is this. In the conduct of family life within the covenant home, there must be the atmosphere of standards. Standards which come out of and from the fifth commandment. You are to honor your father and your mother in the fear of the Lord. That atmosphere may indeed be informal. It's your home. Okay? It's your home, after all. It doesn't have to be formal. It can be relaxed. The place where your home is the place where you retreat to. Your home is where you can relax and be comfortable. But it is not to be a place, it is not to have an atmosphere where the parental duty of paideia and nuthesia stop being present, or where giving honor to parents is not really required of children. Your home can be informal, but your home must not be casual. The Christian home should not be one where the atmosphere and the behavior and the language has been allowed to deteriorate to the absolutely casual. In other words, to the merely self-centered. That should not be allowed. Where duty and manners and respect are not upheld by either the parents or the children. But instead, it becomes a place where the fear of the Lord has been laid aside. And everyone does and speaks as he pleases. When the atmosphere at home is allowed to become casual, the standards and the principles by which you profess to live while in public have no real validity, no real authority. And because the hearts of both the parents and the children, which still only tend toward sinfulness, are always wanting to slide into the casual. We're always wanting to be selfish. We're just a step away from being self-centered, from not caring about anyone else. A sinful behavior and a sinful attitude will then begin to emerge and dominate your home. The atmosphere, the conversation. Your home can quickly become a place where the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, are all set aside. And what shows up instead is the works of the flesh. They run free, and they run unbridled. I have heard, over my years of ministry, I have heard more than once from covenant children who tell me that I do not really know their parents at all, because how they act at home is not how they act in church. And the reason that those children are bold enough to say that is because their own consciences are not at all constrained with the need to honor their parents. In such homes, neither in the parents or the children is there any sense of the fear of the Lord, but only the license to do, to say, and to act as they please. But sin should not be allowed, my friends, to fester and to grow in the Christian home. And the husband and the father is the one who must not shirk his responsibilities, but take the lead in setting the spiritual atmosphere and maintaining a godly character to the home life. Maintaining that set of godly standards. Relaxed, yes. Informal, yes. But guarding against being casual, sliding into the selfish expressions of anyone in the household. When the husband and father fail to do this, he not only denies his obligation and his charge, which is to lead his family, but such disregard for the fear of the Lord quickly spreads downward unto all of the family, revel in it, in some inward corrosion of God's gifts of grace. But when the father honors the Lord in his own home, that also radiates downward. It radiates downward into the peace and the comfort of the experience of the wife, and the reminder of care and attention and responsibility expected on the part of the children. And to remind you again, you know, I am not talking at all about a military-style authoritarianism where the whole family lives in fear of this man. The believing husband and father does not lord it over his family. But he is like a Christ-like shepherd, always vigilant against the devil. Always faithfully and actively leading his family. Applying with practicality the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 3 when he says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why would God give to you, fathers, the Word of God? Because your children need to hear it from you. Scripture makes a very clear distinction, you see, all the way through, between being selfish and self-denial. And think of 100 different ways that is illustrated in the Word of God. Christians are to reject the attitude of the one, and they are to practice and embrace and devote themselves to the other, to the trust and the hope that goes with the other. You cannot live your Christian life casually. You cannot have a self-centered relationship with God. Being a true Christian is more, you see, than just a right formulation of doctrine. It is following the path of righteousness for His name's sake. So, fathers, the primary principle is you allow informality in your home, a set of standards in your home, but guard against sliding into casualness. And let me offer to you some ways in which that principle is to be applied and guided. The way that you are to focus on that principle primarily is through exercising your priorities in the home. And the first priority that you should have, men, is it with the faithful observance of the Lord's day. Your home should be one that faithfully observes the Lord's day. You know, when you regard the worship of God casually, that means that it is not a holy priority to you at all. It means that you will allow anything else in the world, anything else in the world, to come up and call you and your children away. Oh, yes, we have this weekend. Oh, we have that this weekend. Oh, we can't be there. We are on this thing. We can do anything at all will draw you away from the worship of God. And you'll think nothing of it. And you see how you regard and treat the Lord's Day matters to those who truly fear the Lord. The same goes for family worship as well. Here, the family standard needs to be informal, needs to be understood. You know, there will be times when you cannot get to this. Everybody gets that. Times when one or another cannot be present. Everybody understands that. There are times when, you know, but that becomes the exception to the rule. That's the informal standard you're after. But if family worship is only regarded casually, it is always something I never get around to doing. Simply because you don't want to bother. And then that becomes the rule. Now, a good time, you know, to have family worship is any time during the day when your family normally eats as a family together. And your family needs that. Our busy world is ready to pull your family apart. You need to hold it together, fathers. You need to get home and eat some time with your family. Either breakfast before you go to work or dinner when you get home. Make it happen. And that is a very good time to have family worship, because you see, those standards will integrate with one another. Young children need to learn standards, such as etiquette. They need to learn manners. They need to learn patience. And they need to learn that after they are done eating or not eating, they will sit still because they know they cannot get up from the table until Dad has devotions. Now that will take hair-pulling patience and trial. It will not happen overnight. It will not happen in a week. It probably won't happen in a month. You stick to it, it will happen. Your children need to learn standards. Don't throw in the towel on this so quickly and give in to casualness, because you will only see that grow to a monster in your home. The goal, you see, is to make it an informal standard. Everyone is normally expected to be there. It's a positive time to teach your children how to not behave casually in a family setting, and how to be gracious with one another and to contribute to the conversation. Another priority is to hold on to the precious gift of your own marriage. Hold on to the precious gift of your own marriage, fathers and husbands. Do not allow yourselves to slide into the habit of treating one another casually. I think this is a great mistake that husbands and wives can make, is when they slide into being casual, not caring at all for one another. They just assume they may abuse one another whenever it suits them. Practice respect. Practice honor. Practice consideration toward one another, even in times of disagreement. Don't allow your own regard for your spouse to deteriorate down to the mere selfish behavior on your part and verbiage on your part that gets your way and that probably is said to hurt the other person. That's being casual. That's not being informal. Husbands, you must take the lead in this. Every one of our marriages has times when there are disagreements, when there are times when feelings are hurt and words begin to enlarge. Husbands, it is your job to tone the rhetoric down, not to win the argument. It is your job to quiet the atmosphere. That doesn't mean give in, but it does mean you are not free to pour gas on the fire. It is your job to tone down the rhetoric. Don't allow your own regard for your spouse to deteriorate to the point where that gets out of hand. Cultivate your marriage visibly before your children. This is very important. You know, in a day and an age when it's all about youth and it's all about what we need to make sure our children are into and do, and make, they can't miss anything in life when they grow up. Your children are to know and understand that you do not orbit around them. They must orbit around you. They may not get everything they want. They may not get everything you want for them. Oh, I have to get them to lessons. I've got to get them to ball practice. I got to get them to scouts. I got to get them to camping. I got to get them to this, that, and the other. No, you don't. In doing that, in restraining that impulse that you have to have the most well-rounded child in the world, it's that your child will not be exceptional in everything you want them to be. And in realizing that and accepting that, you are teaching them as they grow how to practice biblical priorities themselves. Oh, it's not okay to do this on a Sunday. Your child needs to learn that. There are standards that our family has to hold on to. I can't just regard my Christian life casually. It's also important that your children see how you honor your own parents. You know, it's wonderful if older parents live close by and can participate in your lives, you know, on a routine basis, contributing themselves to the next generation. You don't want to block them out from doing that. You gain nothing by sheltering your children from your parents. Let them learn both the positives and the negatives if necessary. You said, yeah, you don't know my parents, Pastor Dave. I don't want my kids exposed to that. Yes, you do. And then you debrief them afterwards. You see what you understand what you just saw and what you just heard. You understand how that does not honor God. You understand what the Bible says you must do. But more often than not, elderly parents don't live close by. They're at a distance. Our world today, people scatter to the winds, and we sometimes live a long way away from our parents. If that's the case, tell your children stories about their grandparents. Tell them about them. Do your children know their grandparents' birthdays? Do your children know their grandparents' anniversary? Do your children know what they went through in life? What kind of people they were? What kind of house you grew up in? Tell them. Give them these things. Commit to making family visits part of your fantastic, busy vacation schedule. You don't need to go to just the most popular places or the beach every year. And as for care, when the time comes, praise God, you know, there are so many places, there's so many more options today than there used to be. But if institutional living is the route that is taken, that does not mean that you can forget about them once they're there. That happens a lot, I think, you know. Some people just plug their parents into a home, and that's one more thing off the list. You know, that's great. Now I can go about living my life because I don't have to take care of them. And they forget about them. And the years pass. Don't make the casual mistake unbelievers so often make in denying the passage of time. There's always I can always go visit them anytime I want, which is never. And with the coming of that inevitable age, prepare yourself. Anticipate it ahead of time. It's going to happen, yes, to you too. You don't get anywhere by assuming it's not going to happen. Plan on it. Anticipate it. Realize that this will be a part of your life in the years to come. And the time that they will need from you. Budget for it. Plan for it. You see, my friends, if you attend to these basic principles, these priorities, especially husbands and fathers, and if you do those things, you will be encouraged in the Spirit of God through all of your efforts and your labor and your vigilance, because they will be seen by the Lord. You will not do anything, any of these things, unseen and forgotten by anyone else. The Lord will see what you are doing. You live out of the fear of the Lord. You live coram deum, before the sight of the Lord. And you must remember that in even your own most intimate circumstances, how you can be relaxed, you can be informal, but do not live casually. It's all too easy to slide into just simply an atmosphere of complain, gripe, nothing ever changes. Why bother? Listen to the way this person describes it. Youth today love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people. They talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, talk too much in company, guzzle their food, lay their legs on the table, tyrannize their elders. Guess who wrote that? Socrates. 4th century BC. Some things never change. We must not allow ourselves to give in to that. Casual is wrong. You have to live by Christian godly standards, even in your home when you take your shoes off and you throw the lazy boy back. You have to honor God out of the fear of the Lord. And you have to remember that the battle for your Christian home, my friends, is very real. And it is constant. It never goes away. The devil wants to defeat your parental efforts. And so you must be ready. Your discipleship of your children is always and continually an uphill battle. You can never relax. You must always take it seriously. It's a constant battle that you cannot win on your own. You have to have the help of the Lord God. But with that help, fathers, and the guidance of His Word, you will overcome. Your covenant family can and will be different from the world. And if your covenant family is different from the world, there is the prayerful promise of God's people in general that He speaks of here, that the witness of Christ will continue from one generation to the next, to the next. That is our hope and blessing. That is why we work so hard. We maintain the witness of God, even in our homes, so that the promise and the blessing of God will be to our children's homes. And may God be
faithful to this promise. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you very much for these words. They are very sobering and very strong, but you are a blessed gift to us in every sense of the word. You have warned us the battle is real. Father, forgive us for how many times we have laid even that warning aside for our own casual desires. You know how far short we fall of your righteousness. We ask, Lord, that you would restore us and strengthen us and call us to lead our families forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.